decide a winner. You decide a classic winner.
You decide not one, but three champions. You decide 42 stakes horses for 13% stakes horses from starters. And he's going to stand the 2012 season for $7,500, doing the full stands and nurses. That's Proud Citizen. That's $7,500, a real bargain sire for the upcoming season. He is the sire of Eclipse Award winner Proud Spell, who lists among our major stakes wins two top filly classics, the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and the Grade 1 Alabama, for career earnings of over $2,131,000. Others have won major stakes at Gulfstream, at Oaklawn, Belmont, Calder, Woodbine, Saratoga, Delaware, in England, South America. They're competitive wherever they're asked to run. So if you want a runner in your stable, take a good look at Proud Citizen, the son of Gone West that won graded stakes and ran second in both in the Kentucky Derby and third in the Preakness. He stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. That fee, again, is $7,500 due on the foal stands and nurses with breeding incentives available. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone. A bright, sunny day and a cold one at the Thoroughbred Center, and we're in the clocker stand, and the rider almost just came off down by the pony shack down there, but he stayed aboard. Well, anyway, it's I've got all kinds of help clocking out here today. David Dunham is out there. Jackie is scribing. We normally would ask Holly to scribe, but Holly's feeling under the weather. She is our EMS. She's outside, though. I guess she's going to do something. I don't know what. Matt Howard is out there, and Trackman Harold Reed, and they've all got watches, and I'm sitting in here doing this. So I got the morning off, although I was here all morning. We've already had 41 works this morning before the break. We'll probably have about that after the break. Well, what are we going to do today? Dylan Davis is going to come in, and he is a student at the North American Racing Academy. He's going to come in at about 10 o'clock. That, of course, the North American Racing Academy is Chris McCarron's jockey school here. And his father is Robbie Davis, who was a leading rider up in New York for many years and retired. And his sister, Jackie Davis, graduated. She was a real sweetie. And she graduated from the class and has been riding in at Suffolk Downs. And she rides four and five winners a day up there. I mean, she has been doing really, really well. Really nice little girl. Pretty little girl, too. Dr. Doug Byers is going to be in here very shortly with Michael Blowen. And we're going to get a hold of Steve Moody from the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. He's the author of that. Of course, that's published by Briss. Bloodstock Research Information Services, and they're running the holiday inaugural stakes down at today at Turfway. It's for three-year-olds and up, fillies and mares. I believe it's 6 furlongs. I think they're sprinting down there today. If we've got time, we're going to do, we're trying to get started on 1958, having finally completed 1957. Much to Michael Blowen's astonishment and Doug's astonishment. I've just been doing it for a couple of years now. But we're into 1958, and I want to talk about the champion two-year-old in 1958, which was First Landing by turn two out of a really great producer named Hildene by Bubbling Over, I believe. And race for C.T. Chenery's Meredith Stables. And as always, if we have time to do a Joe Palmer, as far as that goes, something for Joe. All right, last week I had forgotten to bring in my list of winners, so I got to make up a little bit. So from the Thoroughbred Center, so here are the ones that I have not announced. Starting with Jimmy Cargan, won with Kaufman down at the Mountain on the 19th. Chuck Hamilton win one. So did Kellen Gorder and Brian Kane. John Langemeyer won one at Churchill Downs. Let's see, Raquel Albright won with Alpine Thunder. Karen Vecchio. I've never met Karen. She comes in here real late. She ships in. a lot of people a van in and work their horses. And anyway, she came in, and I've never really met her, but anyway, she won a race here with a horse named Where's the Love. Marco Castaneda with Jemaru, and Floyd Cobb with Marsha's Baby. And then already this month, we've got, Tommy Short went on the first day at opening night, at Turfway. Paul Garcia won one. And last night we won two up there. Jimmy Dodgen won with My Zipper, and Brian Kane won, I don't know how you pronounce it, Pathoki, P-A-T-H-O-K-I. I know I had a hard time spelling the thing when it first worked out here, anyway, so that's a pretty good month. Let me say something about, and I don't want to look into this a little bit further. The horse that that Marco Castaneda won with Jemaru, he's won 8 of 10 races already now, and Bonnie Castaneda rides Jemaru, and Bonnie is. I hate to say how old she is because I don't really know. But let me say this, and I'm going to do some research, get somebody to do it for me or something. She may have the longest riding. She doesn't ride a lot of horses, you know, but she may have the longest riding career of any female jockey. And I would say that she's probably been riding in the neighborhood of about 20, 25 years. And I don't know any other rider, female rider that has been riding races that long. And like I say, she's ridden this thing. She won 8 races, I believe, maybe more, with Jemaru. And she rides wherever she runs. They've been winning them down at Mountaineer. But I'm going to find out about that, and then I'm going to get Bonnie on the show because I think that's a pretty neat kind of a record. Well, we lost a good friend. I guess everybody knows that that Arnold Kirkpatrick passed away. And today from 3:30 to 5:30 at the Keeneland Clubhouse, they're having a celebration in honor of his life. And donations can be made to either the Hope Center, the Kentucky Equine Humane Center, or the Haven for Dogs. And I've known Arnold since he and I were both young men. And I'm older than Arnold, and he passed away much too soon. And he was just one of those guys that you knew and you appreciated because he was so much fun to be around. And he always had a smile and a laugh and a joke, most of which you can't repeat on the air. But he was just a great guy. And I don't think he had an enemy in the world. Everybody loved him and knew him. And so anyway, he's going to be greatly missed. And he did a lot in the horse business. You know, he was a very gifted writer to begin with. I think he won an Eclipse Award for something that he wrote, and he's written several books on the thoroughbred business. Of course, his father founded the old Thoroughbred Record, which evolved into the Thoroughbred Times, and that's where I first met Arnold. And when I first met him, I was a younger man, but I was already losing my hair. I just got back from Korea and it started to fall out. And I used to love to wear these moccasins. And he took one look at me and said, "Well, that's the first bald-headed Indian I've ever seen." So I've never forgiven him for that, but he was a great guy. And don't forget now that memorial service is this afternoon. From 3:30 until 5:30 at the Keeneland Clubhouse. Also, Bob Green passed away, and of course, old-time horseman. Bob managed Green Tree Stud for many, many years and was a very fine horseman. He had so many top horses over there doing his stint at Green Tree. He's been retired. I haven't seen Bob for a number of years. I guess, gee whiz, I bumped into at the Keeneland Library maybe 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. Time has a way of flying, and we had a nice chat. And Bob was a tough guy to deal with, You do it his way, and you're all right. But we got along for a long time. I used to write his ads for him when he was at Green Tree. And we had to deliver him out here where he could see him. And I remember that my wife had a baby, and I was up all night long and with the baby waiting for it to be born. In fact, it hadn't been, and I missed taking an ad out to him, and he fired us. I told him, well, Bob, I'm sorry, but my wife was having a baby. He says, well, I'm sorry too, Ursel, but, you know, we had a deal, and you didn't live up to it, so I'm moving on. So that was the end of that. But we remain friends, and he's been, you know, he's a very good horseman, and he's another one who was a credit to the industry. Well, he sired a, let's see, I just did this one, didn't I? Let me go move along and take care of something else. Trap Shot, impressive winner of the Grade 2 True North at Belmont and a son of the top sire Tappet, has joined the ranks of stallions at Claiborne Farm. Trap Shot won the True North by 8.5 lengths with his ears pricked, posted a 111 buyer after getting the first 6 furlongs in 108-4. He went into the True North off a 109 score in the Walterboro Stakes at Belmont, and he followed it with a fast closing second. Just got beat a nose in the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga. He posted a 112 buyer that day. Trap Shot served notice early that he was special, breaking his maiden at Gulfstream by 10.25 lengths, followed in succession by allowance wins by 12.75 lengths and by 4 lengths at Gulfstream and at Belmont, a 2.75 length in the Long Branch Stakes at Monmouth Park, as around 2 turns, of course, and a game second to Looking at Lucky in the Grade 1 Haskell, and he earned over $703,000. Trap Shot is one of 13 2011 stakes winners by Pulpit's top son, Tappet, who ranks among the top 5 this year, and he is one of 4 stakes winners, 2 graded stakes winners out of a daughter private account from the famed family of the Blue Hand producer, Lady Be Good. A superb individual. He was an $850,000 sales graduate. Trap Shot, going to stand for $10,000 due in the full stands of nurses. Your inspection is invited. Just call for an appointment. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibonfarm.com.
Here are 2 names to remember in the horse business: the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality is still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861. Or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, last Saturday, called to the great $300,000 Fred W. Hooper handicap was won by Geminator, a 5-year-old son of Broken Vow. Bred by James Orr Jr., Geminator broke his maiden as a 2-year-old at Churchill Downs, and he's gone on to win 10 races at 8 different tracks. So he's a typical Broken Vow, game consistent with a class to compete in graded stakes. He's one of 21 2011 stakes horses by Broken Vow and his 39th stakes winner. Broken Vow is a sire of 16% stakes horses with graded stakes winners on dirt, turf, and artificial, and 4 have won Grade 1 stakes, including the multiple 2011 Grade 1 stakes winner, Sassy Image. Broken Vow stands at Pin Oak Stud for $25,000, live foal. Also at Pin Oak, Bob and John, Cowboy Cal, Sky Classic. Bob and John, a Grade 1 stakes winner by Seeking the Gold, is a sire of 11 2-year-old winners, including a stakes winner in his first crop to race this year. He stands for $7,500, live foal. Cowboy Cal, a multiple graded stakes winner and a millionaire by Giants Causeway, also stands for $7,500 live foal. His first foals and weanings in Eclipse Award winner Sky Classic, the sire of 59 stakes winners and of over 100 stakes horses, stands for $10,000 live foal. Inquiries at Clifford Barry and see the website, pinoakstud.com.
run that body one more time.
All righty. Well, yesterday, Calder ended yesterday. That was the last day of racing. They're going to go. Oh, Gulfstream opens today, but they ran a graded stakes, grade three tropical turf handicap, $100,000 pot down at Calder yesterday. And the winner was Silver Medallion, and he is from the first crop of Badge of Silver. I think that's his first crop. I'm pretty sure that's right. Bred by Brad and C. Jones and trained by Todd Pletcher and races for the Black Rock Stables. So Silver Medallion stands, of course, over at Airdrie Stud. So congratulations over there to his connections and to the people at Airdrie Stud. All right, let's see. The Clark, these are the last week's stakes winners, which were foaled in Kentucky, and the grade one Clark handicap. Of course, that run at Churchill was bred by Morton Fink. These are all Kentucky bred stakes winners now. The grade one Matriarch Stakes, which they ran out at Hollywood Park, was won by Star Billing, bred by George Krikorian. And the grade one Cigar Mile, To Honor and Serve, won that, and it was bred by Twin Creeks Farm, Larry Byer, and Rancho San Miguel. And let's see, as we move in right along, and that one's not a Kentucky bred. Hollywood Derby winner, grade one, went to Ultimate Eagle. That's a colt, it's a three-year-old colt by Mizzen Mask, who is having a very good year. Well, he always has a good year. And Ben Walden Jr. and David Hanley bred Ultimate Eagle. He also won the Oak Tree Derby, so he's looks like the best three-year-old grass horse. That it was on the grass, wasn't it? Yep. On the West Coast. Mizzen Massive had been very successful running that on the race coast. If I'm not mistaken, that's his third grade one stakes winner out there. The Citation Handicap grade two, that was not a Kentucky bred. Moving right along, the Demoiselle grade two at Aqueduct winner, Disposable Pleasure, was bred by Doug Branham. In the Remsen Stakes, grade two, was won by Oprada again, bred by Jeff Morris's Highclere Farm. Jeff raises some nice horses. Let's see, the Fall City Handicap, grade two down at Church Downs, was won by Arena Elvira, bred by the Northwest Farms. The Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes, grade two, of course they run that down at Churchill. And the winner was Gemologist, two-year-old colt by Tisnow. He's undefeated in three starts. It's an awful nice colt. Bred by G. Watts Humphrey Jr. and Louise Ireland Humphrey Revocable Trust. Let's see, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 stakes winners for Tisway this year. And two of them, Tisnow. And Tisway and Morning Line are grade one stakes winners. This was a grade two stakes yesterday. I mean, well, whenever they ran it, on the 26th. The run the same day at Churchill Downs was the Goldenrod Stakes, and it was also a grade two. And the winner was On Fire Baby, bred by Anita Cawley. The Gulf of Juan, well, that's not a Kentucky bred. Keep right on going. I'm just fooling with Kentucky breds. I got to go over to the Hollywood Preview Stakes, grade three, out at Hollywood Park, and the winner, So Brilliant, was bred by the Stonewall Farm Stallions. The Mies Stakes, grade three, More Than Love won that. That's a More Than Ready. Good Lord, I don't know how many stakes winners he's got this year. Here and down below in Australia, I guess well over 20. Of course, he stands over at Vinery. And More Than Love was bred by the Loft Hall Stud and Galleria Bloodstock and Samac, S-A-M-A-C. Don't know who that is. The Fred W. Hooper Handicap at Calder, grade three. Winner was Geminator. A Broken Vow, who's also having a nice year this year. That's his third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh stakes winner, and three of them are graded stakes winners, including Sassy Image, grade one. The Vernon O. Underwood Stakes, grade three, at Hollywood Park winner was Pacific Ocean, bred by Swartlestown Stud. You look at that and you don't know whether to say Swartlestown. had a friend who used to call Sword Dancer, Sword Dancer. So I guess it's Swordlestown. Still, it's kind of hard to say, for me anyway. My southern accent gets in the way. The Fall Highway Handicap, Grade 3. Winner was Sunrise Smarty. And that was bred by Drenis Drazen. Those were all graded stakes. Non-graded stakes, let's see, the Six Bits Handicap at Penn National. Ravallo won that, and Ravallo was bred by Heaven Trees Farm. That's Dee Dee McGeehee, of course. The Thanksgiving Handicap at the Fairgrounds winner, Gantry. He's a Pulpit, who's also having a good year. A Pulpit bred by the DJ Stables. The Cornucopia Stakes at Parks in Philadelphia. Winner was Winning Image, bred by Dream Fields and Don Brady. The Pago Hop Stakes, Daisy Devine. Pago Hop Stakes down at the Fairgrounds. Riley McDonald bred that one. And let's see, the Capade Stakes, Marion Ravenwood. This was at Aqueduct. Marion Ravenwood, the winner. And it was bred by My Meadowview Farm. I don't know that farm. I'm going to have to check that out. My Meadowview. The Meadowview Farm is down in Florida, of course. And let's see, I don't know where Michael Blowen and Doc are. They were supposed to be here at 9 o'clock, and they are tardy. You got a number for Michael? Call up and see if he got it. You know Michael, he gets lost. All right. Moving right along. Let's see, what time is it? I got time to do something here. I tell you what I do while I'm in here waiting for Jackie to come back and do her announcements. I'm just going to read a Joe Palmer. That goes an old race rider. Here comes, boy, I tell you what, the crowd thinned out a little bit out there. We did have a balcony full of people out here now, out there, but thinned out a little bit. Here comes Millie. that's Amelia Foljohn. Okay, this is written by Joe Hall. The mail brought a notice of a new motion picture named Under My Skin, presumably about racing, and a copy of a violent protest by the National Steeplechase and Hunt Association to the producer of this movie on the ground that it represented steeplechase riders as crooked. To a man who has seen a good many racing movies, there are no great point to reading all the way, through either the notice or the protest. This department will never see Under My Skin, having given up Jack Straws, Littered Blocks, the movies, and all drinks containing grenadine in that honor. But I wonder if racing isn't a little oversensitive about the way it's handled in Hollywood. There's no question it's handled badly. The question is whether anyone should mind. What isn't? The triumph of virtue over vice is the only serious plot known to the motion picture industry. Or at least it was when I used to see William S. Hart discouraging the rustling of cattle, or Francis X. Bushman getting cut down on the stretch turn by Ramon Navarro in Ben-Hur. If the movies have learned anything since, I think I would have heard about it. And it isn't as if other professions fared any better. I seem to remember, as through a mist, a picture named The Strange Island of Dr. Moreau with Charles Laughton. And for that matter, there was Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Hyde. Both of them dealt with physicians who had gone wrong. But I doubt if the American Medical Society would have been justified in a protest that they portrayed the profession in a bad light. Consider the way the newspaper profession is delineated in the movies. I can't remember seeing a movie reporter who wasn't dissolute, irresponsible, and brilliant. Yet I know a good many who were just merely dissolute and irresponsible. The point is that there are only a few ways to complicate a racing story. Think of what a picture would be if it tried to show how Warren Wright won the Triple Crown with Citation by spending all kinds of money on yearlings, by buying broodmares at excessive prices, and paying any kind of price for the best trainer in the country. It would lack drama, wouldn't it? There has to be a villain. A few very gifted writers have managed racing stories without evil influences in the key race. John Tanner Foote did it in The Look of Eagles, a sentimental and yet appealing story. J.P. McQuad wrote my favorite racing story of them all, an item named What It Gets You. And, of course, there was National Velvet, which got even into the movies without damage. Personally, I've seen only one fixed race, one that I know was fixed beforehand, that is. That was a steeplechase down in Maryland a few years ago, and even in that, virtue triumph. There was an eagle bird in the race. You ought to know what an eagle bird is, but if you don't, it's an unfixed horse in a fixed race. This one was in the hands of a trainer who wouldn't stand for monkey business, and he was ridden by a jockey who was smart enough not to bet the rest of his life against an afternoon's game. The horse had bad knees, so the race was fixed without him on the theory that he couldn't win it anyway. Well, the fix was going good up to the last fence, but there the eagle bird, bad knees and all, scrambled on even terms and beat the elected horse in the flat run to the finish. The jockeys on the fix were suspended that afternoon, and a little later, officials in conjunction with police set a trap which caught the rest of the voters, and they're down for life. So much for fixes. If you could get the same percentage of honesty in the legislature and Congress that we do at Jamaica, we'd have a government against which the waves of communism would break unavailably. There's another side to this. A prominent official once remarked, "If we could convince everybody that this game is on the level, we'll go out of business." It was said facetiously, but the man knew that what he was talking about. There will be, lining up at the windows all this season, a considerable number of citizens who hope the fourth race has been tampered with and that they're in it on the right side. There's also the question of unemployment, not serious during the war, but of growing importance now. A quite responsible number of not very respectable persons made a living selling larceny, and you would be surprised to know how many reputable businessmen can be separated from actual cash at the sight of a battery, which will never appear on any racetrack, but is represented as being the causative agent for an upset victory at Charlestown. Well, if some people weren't persuaded, how would our hustlers live? As written by Joe Palmer. All right, I'm going to do a break here, and then I'm going to get the two tardy guys on the air.
You heard of the Hardy Boys?
We're the Tardy Boys.
You're the Tardy Boys instead of the
Boy,
Hardy.
Boy, because Michael's the one that's responsible.
I bet he is. He always is. Yeah. I knew, Doc, if it was up to you, you'd be right on time. Well, last Sunday, the Grade 1 $250,000 Hollywood Derby was won by Unlimited Eagle, Ultimate Eagle, excuse me. I'm doing this and the sun's shining through. And there's people moving back and forth, blocking the sun, and they're moving. I'm getting all kinds of shadows across my script here, and it's hard to read. I don't know what to do about it. Get off my balcony.
We showed up just in time.
Yeah.
His irascibility.
We're not on the balcony. We're not on the balcony.
Oh, Lordy mercy.
I can stand in front of the sun. I can block your view if you like.
No, that's all right. I'll struggle through.
It's one of my areas of expertise.
I'm going to start all over again. Either that Garrett O'Rourke will get all over me if I don't. Last Sunday's Grade 1 $250,000 Hollywood Derby was won by Ultimate Eagle, a 3-year-old colt by Mizzen Mass. Bred by Ben Walden and David Hanley, Ultimate Eagle went into the Hollywood Derby off a score in the Grade 2 Oak Tree Derby, and the Hollywood Derby was his fourth straight win. He used the same tactics to win both derbies, leading at every call, and he covered the mile and a quarter of the Hollywood Derby in 201 and 2 after breaking from the 11 hole. Ultimate Eagle has earned over $329,000. He is the third Grade 1 stakes winner by Mizzen Mass, following Mass Track, winner of over $928,000, and Midships, who's earned more than $528,000. Those are the kind of performances horsemen have come to expect from the progeny of Mizzen Mass. There's always another Mizzen Mass. He stands for 12,500 live foal at Judmont Farm, home also of the beautifully bred Grade 1 Stakes winner First Defense, a son of Unbridled Song, and Grade 1 Stakes winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slough. First Defense stands for 7,500 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmont.com. I want to talk about my good friend Tom Biederman, Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. And Mama has pulled off some. Here is a some off his website, which that his website is Biederman Brokerage.com, BIEDERMAN Brokerage.com. And Jackie has pulled off some. She loves to go on there and look at the houses and wish we lived in them. but that involves moving, and you can't fry me from where I am. He's got a house. This is the absolute auction on Thursday, December 8th. That's this coming Thursday, 12 noon, at 3166 Custer Drive in Lexington. And it's got, 13,776 square feet. What are you going to do with all that room? Well, it's an office building. That's what you're going to do with it.
I thought you'd finally have a place for your old racing form.
All right. They do multiply, don't they? Well, anyway, it's an office building, white lace looking building. I thought it was a house. Huh. Okay, and that auction is, it's an absolute auction that's coming noon on Thursday. 3166 Custer Drive. And your inspection, you better call for an appointment for an inspection. Tom's number is 277-2030. And he's got a historic farm over in Woodford County. The residence, it's a 125-acre farm and residence, and it's on McCracken Pike, and it's right close to Ashford Stud and Stone Street and Brookdale Farms. I mean, that's great, location there. It's a beautiful farm. So you might want to ask him about that. There's another one on Keene Road, a farm. Here's one on Georgetown Road over in Paris. Oh, this is not Griffin Farm. It's up for sale. It's a really nice place. That's Jim Fitzgerald's farm. He's got two. I guess he doesn't need but one. But Jim is all, you know, he's been on that farm for 17 years. That's his home place. But he's got the other place that he built. So he's always... buying and selling. He's done about as well in real estate as he has in the horse business, you know. He's done extremely well.
Well, his new farm is designed for him because he's got all kinds of fences to jump.
Yeah, there you go.
He's got walls everywhere.
I'm sure he's fox. Yeah. I'm sure he's fox hunting today. Well, that's my good friend Jim Fitzgerald. Number's 277-2030, and it's beedemanbrokerage.com. BEDERMAN brokerage.com. Well, Jim Ologist, winner last Saturday, the Grade 2 Jockey Cub Stakes at Churchill, and Lovely Lil, winner that same day, the Grade 2 Gopher 1 Handicap at Aqueduct. They're both by Tiz now. So, 2 is Tiz Deja Vu, who successfully completed his first season of stud this year. Going to stand the 2012 season for $5,000, doing a full stands of nurses. Tiz Deja Vu won 4 stakes at Churchill Downs, all 4 in front-running fashion. The Grade 2 Jefferson Cup, the Grade 2 Firecracker, the Grade 3 Crown Royal American Turf Stakes, and the opening verse. He also wired the field to win the Grade 2 American Derby at Arlington, led deep in the stretch to place in the Grade 1 Secretariat Stakes, and displayed a spectacular catch-me-if-you-can style of running, and was virtually unbeatable at Churchill Downs. Stands at Crestwood Farm with a Stans Kipling, a proven Grade 1 sire, and a full brother to Breeders' Cup Turf winner Court Vision. Showbiz Like Showbiz, a Grade 1 stakes winner of more than $1,544,000. And Noble Causeway, a Grade 1 runner by Giants Causeway. And he's the sire of a stakes winner and 2 stakes place runners in his first crop to race this year. Now, for more information about the Crestwood Stans, call Pope McLean, 252-3770, and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. And Dr. Doug Beyer here with me. They're supposed to be here a half an hour ago, but that's all right.
Dr. Byers has some important business.
I bet.
And I had to finish my breakfast.
There you go. That the truth comes out.
Good to see you, Ursula. You're looking fabulous today.
Well, you know what to say. A pole cattle looks good.
Well, I think they're having a service for Arnold Kirkpatrick today at Keeneland.
I've already announced that, my friend. Yeah.
Yeah. Too bad.
Starts at 3:30 in the clubhouse. Did you know Arnold very well?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know him long,
but I thought I knew him pretty well.
Yeah.
He told me, one of the great stories Arnold told me is when he worked his way through Tulane as a drummer in a strip joint in New Orleans.
Yeah.
With Blaze Starr.
Yeah, I could believe every word of it.
And, he said to me, I can't do Arnold's voice very well, but I'm going to try. He goes, Michael, I can play Night Train on the drums in my sleep. But I'll tell you something. You know, whenever we needed to get the farm appraised, when we needed to borrow more money, Arnold would always send one of his representatives out there, and they'd do it all, and he never sent us a bill.
Yeah, is that right? Mm-hmm. Well, he was a nice guy. He's one of those people you're glad you knew because he was so much fun to be around.
Yeah, he was.
And he was just, you know, and you're straight up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you knew he had a great reputation in the real estate business, and, you know, because people knew that they were going to be treated right.
He was a great, great guy, and I'm sure that this tribute to him this afternoon at Keeneland is going to be one of the great events ever. Can you imagine people all getting up and telling stories going back with Arnold?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, they should charge $10 just to get in.
Yeah, he wrote books, but he didn't write one on his life, which probably, you know, some of those tales he used to tell, you know. Most of them you couldn't believe a damn word of it, you know, but that's all right. They were good stories.
If you
could
only believe half of it, they were still pretty good.
They were great stories, you know, and I was very fond of Arnold. I knew his dad real well, too, Hayden.
Yeah.
And, you know, the family formed the Thoroughbred Record, which evolved into the Thoroughbred Times, and it preceded the Blood Horse by, probably 25 years, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, in the 1890s, the Thoroughbred Record first came out. And it was, I remember it well, I got the first edition.
I thought you were just reading it. He's looking for past performances. If we were 5 minutes later, he'd been reading every one of them.
Well, by golly, here's Domino, hadn't been beat yet.
This is great.
Yeah.
And you took out the intersection here of the racing form today. Where's that?
It's at home. What, the thing about, why? What were you
looking
for?
Well, I mean, it's the whole thing about a Gulfstream opening. There's a whole thing with Grand Motion in there, and here I come to read it, and all I get is, I get the PM edition, like Golden Gate and Turf Paradise.
Well, Turfway's in there. That's the reason I get it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mountaineer Park.
Basically,
Delta
Michael
Downs,
doesn't
Remington.
Want to buy his own.
Oh, what? You got that right.
It's $7. You realize what you could do with seven? That's 70 10-cent superfectas.
He loses money dime at a time.
I read it to a guy the other day who works in a mutual department, and he's wanted to talk a little bit about old friends, and he told me, he says, good to put a face. He says, I work on all those IRS tickets down there. I go, yeah. Have been had some good fortune the last couple of months. So
yeah. Well, what's going on out your way? Anything special?
Oh yeah, sure. We first of all, Marquetry's doing really well. He's almost ready to go back out again. I think Dr. Byers thinks he should go out.
Yeah.
Sure. He's
told
doing
you to
great.
Let him out last week.
I know you did. I know you did. I know
he
you
had,
did. He's having a good time. He's having a good time. The weather was bad. It was slippery. I can't have anything happen to this horse. He's too smart for me.
Well, ace him up a little bit and turn him out, for God's sakes. Wouldn't you do that, Doc?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let him be a horse.
All right. Whatever you guys say.
Moving
we
right
need
along.
Hay. We need hay. If anybody's got any extra hay, they either want to donate to us and be really generous. You know, you get extra Christmas bonus points. We give out bonus points, you know, like frequent flyer miles. We give out frequent giver points.
Yeah.
That can be redeemed in our gift shop. I just thought that up. You think that'll work?
It ain't going to work with me.
Anyway, if anybody's got any extra hay out there, let us know. We'll be glad to come and get it and do whatever we can.
Well, your man's out here on the porch right now. Where is he? Did he go?
Oh, the sun must be still in your eyes.
Well, I don't reckon. Oh, he's standing behind. Matt Howard's out there.
Oh, yeah. Matt gave us some hay before. I just hate to keep asking him because he's bigger than me and he might get mad. But he's been great. Matt's been great.
He's a neat guy.
We just got another horse, a horse named Ferdinand Starr.
Yeah.
He's a nice chestnut.
How old is he?
He's not that old. He's like 16, I think.
Yeah, okay.
I'll have to check. He came with a lot of stuff. But he was at the TRF facility, and he couldn't be ridden anymore, and so we're trying to show that we can worked together with other groups. They were very generous to donate him to us, and we're really very happy to have him. There's a guy named Jack Taylor who teaches elementary school in Lexington, and he has adopted him, and he and his mother were out this morning to see him. And
oh, that's
really nice, and all the students in the school love Ferdinand Starr, so they'll probably be coming out to the farm to see him. So I think he'll be a great horse for us.
That's super, yeah.
And we're really grateful.
Yeah. Well, let me take a break here, and see where in the heck I am.
You're gonna...
You can help me with quilling.
Okay.
Champion Invisor was Horse of the Year on two continents, earned over $7,804,000, won two of the world's most coveted stakes, the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic over Bernardini and the Grade 1 Dubai World Cup, won an unprecedented six Grade 1 stakes in a row, ranked number one in the world as a four-year-old, number one in the world at the time of his retirement at five. He's one of 11 champions sired by Blushing Groom's top son, Candy Stripes, a list that includes Eclipse Award winner and Kentucky Derby sire, Leroy DeSanimo. Candy Stripes is also the broodmare sire of the successful young sire, Candy Ride, who, like Invisor, was foaled in South America. The first foals by Invisor are showing run. 11 have won a place to two-year-olds this year, including the good stakes placed winner, Midnight Valor. Invisor at Shadwell Farm inquires to stand manager Kent Barnes. See the website at shadwellfarm.com. Let's see. I think they've got a special at Quill and Tack on hickory twitches.
Hmm.
You need a hickory twitch?
I don't think so. You maybe don't? Diane wants one to use on me, but I'll have to ask her. Maybe that's what she wants for Christmas.
She wouldn't use the rope end on you. She'd use
yeah, whatever she can get her hands on, I know.
Well, anyway, they've got a special on those.
Yeah, they're only $21.
Handmade. Available in two sizes, a one-man twitch, optional solid brass nameplate on it, a 48-inch, and, what the heck is this? Yeah, I guess it's one of those little short ones.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, right. Okay. I don't have one of those.
Clip it back up to the halter.
Make me up one, Ralph. Don't put my name on it, though. Jackie might hit me with it or something. And, of course, everybody knows where Quill and Tack is. They've got a great Christmas shop.
They have a great Christmas shop. That's what people should be going out there for. They've got all kinds of things, not just twitches and halters, which are terrific, especially the halters, because we get them for free from Ralph. They're spectacular.
He charges me.
I rest my case, Your Honor. Yeah, Judge Isaac is out on the porch. Maybe he could...
Arbitrate.
Yeah, arbitrate. That's a great word, isn't it?
For lawyers... anyway, it's Quill and Tack is in Paris, of course, and if you want to find it, if you're coming in from the Lexington, going into Paris Lexington Road, it's the third light on your...
It's on the left.
As you go in, and it's on your left. Yeah. Did that make sense? Hell no.
Yeah, I could see these people going around in a circle, stopping traffic in Paris. Going, I thought it was around here somewhere.
Your third
you said left, right, right, left, right, left.
Just keep going straight, and at the third light, it's on your left. There we go. Okay. And they do really have a great gift shop in there, and they make great products. And they got Quillin.com is their website, and that's Quillin.com. Ralph's a great guy, great to do business with, And there goes the clocker's phone over there.
That was Ralph calling.
Yeah, that was
Hey, I want my money back.
answer the phone out there, Jackie. We've got that's the clocker's phone.
You know? It's a special phone.
Yeah.
It's like the red phone in the White House.
I don't believe they were as busy as we thought they were going to be. I had 41 works before the break. And
wow.
And I thought, you know, the roof would fall in. But how busy did it look out there, Ressie? Did you?
It looked too busy.
I didn't think so. They got four of them out there clocking. Anyway, Drosselmeyer, winner of two of North America's most coveted stakes, has joined the ranks of stallions at Windstar Farm. Now, Drosselmeyer won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic and the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes. He's one of only two horses in history to accomplish that feat. The other was A.P. Indy. In fact, there have been only five winners of a Triple Crown race to go on and win the Breeders' Cup Classic. Sunday Silence, Unbridled, Curlin, AP Indy, and Drosselmeyer. So that's pretty heady company. Drosselmeyer also won the one-count stakes at Belmont, was twice second in the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup, ran second in the Grade 2 Dwyer and the Grade 2 Brooklyn, third in the Grade 2 Louisiana Derby, broke his maiden as a two-year-old at Churchill, and earned over $3,728,000. He is the leading money-winning son of champion sire Distorted Humor, sire of 17 stakes winners and the earners of over $10,256,000 this year, and the sire of winners of all three Triple Crown races. And he's out of the Grade 1 stakes winner, Golden Bailey. That's the damn near Drosselmeyer. She earned over $732,000. As for confirmation, Suffice it to say that Drosselmeyer was a $600,000 sales yearling. For more info about the Windstar Stallions, contact Gary Duffy or Jenny Barnett, 873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All right, I guess we're not going to... You sleep down there, Jim Mary Jane? Hey, Larry, go ahead, woke her up. Still, Doc, what we got going this morning?
I think first of all, Michael, he's going to go with Paul Isaacs down to the basketball game. So I know he wants to.
You want to get out of here? Get out. You got to meet Paul.
Mm-hmm. Paul's here.
Paul is here.
Yeah. Yep.
Where is he?
He's over there hiding.
Oh well, I'll
he doesn't want to be seen with me either.
Well, I don't. Well, he's taking you out there with 23,000 other people.
He's screaming people.
He's blowing that right away.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I hope people will come out and see some of the horses today. It's a beautiful afternoon. After the game, be a great place to stop by.
Yeah. Well, you won't be there until.
Well, I'll be after the game.
After the game. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Well, good luck at the game.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Y'all come with separate cars then, I guess.
No. No, he came with me, but I'm going home alone.
No, oh, okay.
He's going with Paul.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
I see.
Yep.
I see. Yep. You weren't teasing when you said Paul was out here then, yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. He is the circuit judge for Bourbon, Scott, and Woodford counties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He just got appointed to some. What was that?
I don't know. We'll have to ask him.
Well.
Something important, I'm sure.
Ah, something legal to hell with it.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot, you guys.
Probably announcing his candidacy for the presidency.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, why not?
He's going to take over for Herman Cain. Hey, that's who we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Now he's a cameraman. We were talking about.
We were complimenting him on the way in here.
Yeah.
He's going to come on it with Dylan. What's Dylan's last name? I better write it down. Davis.
Oh.
Yeah, at the top of there. That's Robbie's son.
Oh, great.
He's on the program now, and Jackie's brother.
Oh, remember nice. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Jackie's...
Jackie's riding up in New York.
Yeah, rides. And is she in New York now? Mm-hmm.
I think so. Oh. Tyler Kaplan is out in Turf Paradise.
He's at Turf Paradise.
And
Adam Bowman in...
Philadelphia.
And Corey Orr at Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And you know they're all over now.
Tyler Kaplan's got a horse who could win today at Turf Paradise.
I'd like to see him win. I've got a picture of Tyler up there on the wall, breezing a horse.
One of the points that Dr. Byers was making that was so important is that when they go through Chris's program, it's a well-rounded education.
Yeah,
you know they learn how to handle money. They learn they've got some liberal arts background, so that when they get out there, it's not just how to ride a horse in a race. They've got a real fundamental, real strong foundation for doing a lot of other things.
Yeah. It's a great... He was up here yesterday telling some tales.
Was he?
Chris wasn't. I tell you, some of them were great. I'm going to get him to tell one of them, the clean one.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, some of them are funny as they can be. But the one about a saddle stretcher, I'm going to get him to talk about
funny.
That a little bit. If he came up here with... Has he got the little kid with him?
I don't think so.
I don't see Tommy Bergen out there, and Jesus, I don't know, maybe it's just Chris.
Maybe Tom trained a horse for us.
He did?
We had a horse with Bill Vandendoel, and that's a funny story, too, but I can't tell that because it's not that clean.
Tom's a good trainer.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, but I think the last time I looked, it was like a 23% winners.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, he finally got rid of us and got some good horses in his barn.
I remember that horse. I'll think of his name here in a minute.
My Luke.
Oh, yes, yeah. No, that's not the one I was thinking about, but I know. Doc, he's talking me right up to a break again, and I'm going to get you on.
All right.
Well, Patty O'Prater is the... Am I doing the right thing here now? Yeah. Patty O'Prater is a grade one stakes winner of over $1,721,000 by champion El Prado, a sire of sires. El Prado's most recent stakes winner came last Saturday in New York when the two-year-old colt O'Prater again won the grade two Remsen. Earlier stakes winners include two of the hottest sires in North America, Kitten's Joy, whose stud fees climbed to $50,000, and Medalli d'Oro, who stands for $100,000. Ranked with the best of his generation at 2, 3, and 4. Patty O'Prater won 5 graded stakes, including the Grade 1 Secretariat, placed in 4 more, among them the Grade 1 Kentucky Derby, the Grade 1 Bluegrass Stakes, and the Grade 1 Joe Hirsch Turf Classic Invitational. You don't have to pick his tracks. He was equally adept on dirt, grass, or artificial. His trainer, Dale Romans, paid him the ultimate compliment. When Kitten's Joy retired, I never thought I'd have another horse as good as him. But I'm glad that Patty proved me wrong. Patio Prater is out of the Grade 2 stakes winner from a family loaded with black type. Staying his first season of step for $15,000 to win a full stands of nurses. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Feld, and Ed Toffee at Spendthrift Farm. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. All right, I want to talk about my friend. No, we've got a little brisk down there right now, I think.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is BristNet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information no one else has. In-depth trainer staff, detailed pedigree data, brisk class, pace, and speed ratings, free membership, handicapping contests, exciting monthly giveaways. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover BristNet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
I know that is. I want to talk about my friend Ron Glass. He had a real nice article on Ron in this week's edition of the Blood Horse. Did you read that?
I did.
Wasn't that nice?
Yep, and I talked to Ron yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's called, you know, he had the Chanticleer farm and did extremely well managing that place out there. And the gentleman who owned the farm, a native of Saudi Arabia, Prince Khalid, had Ron Watt managing the farm. I'm going to tell you, but he raised a bunch of nice horses out there in addition, of course, to Royal Delta, who won the Breeders' Cup Ladies' Classic and sold for $8,500,000. It's a sale in a dispersal sale, which grossed almost $17 million for 30 horses. He raised horses like Continuously and Dreams Galore and Indy 500 and Lear's Princess and Moram, all grade one stakes winners. And what Ron does, and this explains it a whole lot better, and I'm going to quote this article, just a couple of paragraphs. Wallace's lengthy tenure at Chanticleer represented a departure from his standard mode of operation. He usually manages anywhere from 3 to 5 farms at a time, employing a philosophy in which he would prefer to advise and oversee several smaller operations than to manage a single large one. While he's sometimes called in to troubleshoot, or to fine-tune an existing operation, Wallace's forte is to oversee a farm from acquisition through its development and then employ permanent management. This is a quote. Now, usually I design and build them and set up the management team and move on, said Wallace. After Judgmont, which he managed, which was a big operation with lots of personnel and lots of horses, I just figured I could take what I knew and give it to the smaller farms. One small farm couldn't afford me as a whole. But I gave them 20% of my time. It would be good for them and good for me. So that's what he does. And I thought that was a pretty clear explanation of what he does. So if you've got a smaller farm out there and you're looking for somebody to help you with it and you don't want to hire somebody, you know, for, you know. Like
right. You couldn't get a better straight shooter and somebody that does what he says he's going to do. He follows through.
Yeah.
I've known Ron for 30 years. Mm-hmm. So
he's a very nice person, and like Doug said here, that was, of course, Dr. Doug Byers saying that. Let me give you his number. It's 621-1655, and his website is equinefarmmanagement.com, and that's Ron Wallace. All right. Gonna get to you now, Doc.
Okay. Well, I want to. We do a lot of storytelling, so I'm going to give a quick Twitch story because you mentioned Quillen with his Twitch special. Before Dr. Davidson died, I visited with him one time, and he had some acreage up in a little bit more north of Lexington, and he said he'd cut me a hickory twitch. So I thought that'd be great. So he cut the twitch and gave it to me, and I said, it doesn't say it's from you. I said, so I don't want it. So he took it back. He used to make gun stocks and twitches down in his basement. He took it back, and he had the brass thing on there, and originally it just said Dr. Byers. So then he called me. He said, well, I personalized it. Went and picked it up, and it just had AHD.
AHD.
He wouldn't put his full. He just too humble. He just, you know, and just, boy, it kind of said it all. So I got that twitch in my barn, and I'll never give it up.
Yeah.
So
yeah. He was a really nice person.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. And I talked to Ed Fallon yesterday, and he's going to come on the show again, and you guys can give football war stories.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's probably, you know, after the first year or something like that. But
okay.
Anyway, yeah.
I'd love to have him back on.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. I said that his first words were, when he was a baby, were palpate.
Well, you know, we ought to get his opinion between the transition from palpation to ultrasound.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know.
Yeah, that would be.
The youngsters, they don't have the same skill level because they've got this machine.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I had him on a show about a year ago, I believe.
Yeah, he told me.
Yeah.
Well, one more thing before we talk any medical topic. Everybody who's a horse person or even not a horse person needs to get over to the Kentucky Horse Park and see that exhibit, the horse. It's brought in from the New York Museum of Natural History, and it's one of those things you just start spending time and time and time because it's just so dedicated to the inception of the horse and what it's done to the civilized world and how much debt we really owe. So it's something that I encourage every listener out there to pick up the family and spend a quality few hours.
Yeah.
It's really worth it.
Okay.
Yep.
Sounds good.
So since we've had all this EIPH stuff, and I'm getting
massage from McCarran.
Well, I don't know if it's a massage. He's taking the thumbs and he's trying to grind.
Watch your wallet.
Hey, buddy.
How's it going, Doc?
Doing well.
Good.
Grab a thing. We both shaved about the same way today.
Yeah
right.
I think this is about a week old.
They're both scroungy looking, let's put it that way.
Yeah. And you know, we're supposed to have mustaches because we've just come out of Movember.
Movember
is the man's way. Grow a mustache, and then you're recognizing prostate cancer.
No.
So it's kind of a...
That lets me out. I can't grow a mustache.
Well, anyway.
I can't grow hair anywhere.
That's what we got. So I thought I'd talk very quickly on a complicated subject, so we better keep it really...
Okay.
We got all this EIPH and respiratory and furosemide stuff going on.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about oxygen and how it... the physiology of the oxygen. So the air out here is probably 21% to 26% oxygen. The horse needs to get that air sucked in, and during relaxation he moves about 4 liters, it says a second, but he moves that up during performance to about 75 liters of air per second, just inhales air. So when he pulls that in, his nostrils are unique. They've got a thing called a false nostril. You put your finger in the nose, of a horse. If you go to the midline side, you put your finger in and it'll get stopped. And that's a blind sac that produces some mucus and some other things, but the function of it is really not understood. But that's called the false nostril. And foals can be born, or horses can be born, have cysts in those false nostrils. They have a cartilage on the front, which is, if you want to call it Mother Nature's nasal strip, it's called the alar cartilage. You can push on their nose on the outside, and you can feel that springiness to that cartilage. So when they suck that air in, they get it past those areas, and the cartilage helps have the spring and keep that nostril open. Then they hit the turbinates where the air gets warmed, it gets humidified, and it starts to precipitate out particles that it doesn't want. So it creates this scenario. So so that's why the horse is really, really well adapted to cold weather. They humidify and warm that air, gets in the nostril, then it gets back to the pharynx or the throat, and now it runs into the trap door, which is the epiglottis that's going to separate putting food down the esophagus versus down the windpipe. And if a horse has a dysfunctional airway, they often have dysphagia or food does go down the wrong pipe. So horses that have that, a lot of times you want to take a dose syringe of water and blast them out, clean them out before they go out and perform. Mm-hmm. And some of those horses get that debris out of the way. When it gets past there, then it hits the trachea, which we know is another set of cartilage rings to keep it open and spring-loaded. And when it hits there, it's going to travel on down to what we call the carina or bifurcation of the trachea, which goes in the left and right lungs. When it gets down to left and right lungs, it's now in the bronchi. Then the bronchi divide further into bronchioles, which are very small. And then they finally wind up in the alveoli, which are the air sacs at the end of the lung. Now, the important part here is that oxygen doesn't diffuse across those membranes very well, so it needs a pressure gradient. And when it gets back there, it needs to exchange with the blood on the other side of the membrane of the alveoli at what we call a ventilation-perfusion ratio, and we want it to be 1-to-1. Mm-hmm. Whatever amount of oxygen goes across, the bloodstream is there to pick it up and deliver it. It transports that oxygen through the bloodstream and eventually winds up in the capillaries of the body and oxygenates the cells, because we're obligate that our mitochondria need to have oxygen to perform. So do our enzymes. So we die without it. So we understand it. Well, we want a 1-to-1 ventilation to perfusion ratio. If you start to thicken those membranes, so let's suppose you have emphysema, those air sacs begin to enlarge because of an allergic reaction, and they develop air sacs that are bigger than the circulation on the other side. So they enlarge, and now we have stagnant air. So then you see people who have emphysema that will be breathing, and they'll blow out. They'll mm-hmm. have a kind of a pursed lip, and they'll blow out because the air is trapped. And the CO2 goes across the membranes easier than the oxygen. So they build up, and they're trying to blow that CO2 off. And CO2 is the regulator of telling you when to breathe. So when you were kids or hyperventilated or blew into a paper bag and your CO2 would build up, some kids, I never did it, would pass out. So that the brain would say, okay, too much CO2, you got to start breathing in. So you would saturate it with the air with the CO2, and that's one way that you... So it tells you that the brain has to tell you to breathe. So
is that what causes yawning also?
You know, I don't know. I really don't know what the reflex for yawning would be.
You were talking yesterday about how to blow that out.
I wanted to find out if it was yawning because I catch my students doing it all the time.
Oh, that's a company.
In the classroom. That's right. It must be the lesson.
It's the CO2 toxicity when they walk through the door. So anyway, this is just all mechanisms, and then the chest is full of recoil things, and when you lose the recoil, the spring mechanism to your lungs, which is full of cartilage, or the chest cavity, then you call that compliance. Mm-hmm. So now the animal who's had a bad case of pleurisy or something like that may not be able to expand that lung anymore because there's too much fibrosis. Mm-hmm. Going to EIPH, every time they bleed, that's inflammatory. Back in the small airways, which is the important exchange part. So now that he doesn't get the same ventilation perfusion ratio. Builds up over time, and it's wear and tear. The vessels remodel. They look like varicose veins back there. And so their ability to oxygenate the tissue becomes less and less and less. So a lot of those horses eventually, and Chris could probably address this, if they get on the downside of EIPH, they'd rather take a whooping than go without oxygen. So they won't perform at the same level.
Very good.
So, okay.
All right, Doc.
Quick rundown.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
I've got one question for you.
Yeah.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to have you do this commercial.
The nasal strips.
Right.
I've seen trainers put nasal strips on and then put a drop nose band or a figure eight over top of it. Isn't that kind of counterproductive?
It would be. You're trying to open the nasal cavity and at the same time you're trying to correct the throat scenario. So I don't think that's really been studied that much.
What he's talking about, you know, is the restriction that they
right,
have, you
right,
know,
right.
there. And then you open it up, I can see if it doesn't make sense to do both, does it?
No, it seems counterproductive,
I'd have to leave off the nasal strips, I think.
Let's go to our sponsor.
Damn right. November 25 at Hollywood Park, the Grade 3 Miette Stakes was won by More Than Love, a two-year-old filly by More Than Ready. Sold as a yearling in Keeneland for $130,000. More Than Love went into the Miesque off a maiden special win at Belmont. She's won a 20 2011 stakes winners by More Than Ready. Sire of the winners are more than $8,650,000 this year to rank fifth on the general sire list. Last year he was the third leading sire on the and the number one ranked sire on the juvenile sire list. Elite sire More Than Ready stands at Vinery, Kentucky for $60,000 live full. Vinery, Kentucky, Vinery, Florida, and Vinery, New York. World-class facilities to take care of your every need in the thoroughbred industry. Breeding, boarding, sales, breaking, training, rehabilitation. There's a resident bloodstock agent, a highly successful racing partnership program. Everything you need. Just contact John Gasper, Steve Castanola, Francis Rillihan, or Grant Williamson at 455-9388 and see the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
Well, he sired an Eclipse Award winner, he sired a Classic winner, he sired not one, but three champions. He sired 42 stakes horses for 13% stakes horses from starters, and he's going to stand the 2012 season for $7,500 due in the foal stands and nurses. That's proud citizen. The $7,500 is a great bargain sire for the upcoming season. He is the sire of Eclipse Award winner Proud Spell. The list among our major stakes wins two top filly classics, the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and the Grade 1 Alabama, for career earnings of over $2,131,000. Others have won major stakes at Gulfstream, Oaklawn, Belmont, Calder, Woodbine, Saratoga, Delaware. They've won in England. They've won stakes in South America. They're competitive wherever they're asked to run. So if you want a runner in your racing stable, take a good look at Proud Citizen. He's the son of Gone West. He won graded stakes, ran second in the Kentucky Derby, was third in the Preakness. Stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton and sees Jones Airdrie Stud. And that fee again, $7,500 due when the foal stands and nurses, with breeding incentives available. See the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All right, come back in here, Chris. This one, we need you, you leave.
Well, I was trying to find one of my students out there on the track, but I think she already went by.
I hope they're still on the horse.
Well, we had a couple yesterday that came off.
Well, that's...
But it wasn't on the track. It was out in a big paddock over there.
That's pretty routine, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say at least once a week, huh?
Mass chaos.
And there's something up with Fridays. I don't know what it is, but somebody—it seems like every Friday somebody comes off.
It's usually Mondays when the horses are, you know, given a day off on Sunday, and everybody comes.
Well, they get 2 days off. We turn them out on Friday afternoon, and then we bring them back in on Sunday afternoon. So they're out in the paddocks for 2 days. On Monday mornings, they're relatively quiet, aren't they, girls?
That's because they've been turned out. You know, but if you keep them in a stall that long and you take them out here on the field, you know.
Well, yesterday they got incredibly excited because we couldn't train in the morning because of the ground. It was frozen. So it started thawing late in the morning, so we left the barn at about noon, went out to the paddock that we leased from the Gentry farm back there.
Yeah.
I was originally going to go to this public field back here, that because it's bigger and we can gallop a little faster.
It gets crowded.
Not at 12 o'clock. There's nobody out there at 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
But when we let these horses out of the stalls with tack on, every single one of them was bouncing and dancing and squealing. As a matter of fact, I've got one of my students here, Laura Carson, from the state of Washington. She was on this big gray filly that Bill Wofford donated to us. We call her Joker. Her name's Eugest. And when she led her down the shed row, we'd jog all the horses first before we leg them up, before we leg the kids up, to make sure that they're sound and everything. There's Callie right now. Anyway, this gray filly loves to buck like crazy. I mean, she'll throw three or four bucks in there, and she almost gets perpendicular.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. So, anyway. But we've got three students here this morning.
Yeah, I see you do. Two added starters.
That's right.
Also eligibles.
Right. Well, they came here to offer support to Dylan, because he's a little shy.
Oh, he's not shy. Your sister certainly isn't shy. Wow. I'll tell you that. I couldn't shut her up.
Yeah, this is Dylan Davis. He's Robbie Davis's son, Jackie Davis's brother. And he got down here and enrolled in what we call Fall 2. So he started our classes in about the middle of October. And he's making some good progress. And
good.
And we're happy to have him here. Yeah.
Do you ever see your dad ride?
He's retired really early. When I was little, so...
Well, how old are you, Dylan?
I'm only 18.
18? So,
yeah.
Okay. But you didn't get to see him ride?
Ever yeah, I was very young when he retired, so I didn't get to watch him too much.
Did you ever see films? He was good.
Yes, films, yeah.
Yeah, he was very, very good. Very good rider. And Jackie's doing real well, isn't she?
She is, yeah. She slowed down a little bit now because when Suffolk Downs closed in Boston, she moved her tack to Aqueduct, and the competition at Aqueduct is quite
she's
a bit keener.
She's in New York now?
She is. Okay. She's been riding at Aqueduct now for about, I don't know, 3 weeks, something like that.
Okay.
She was second leading rider at Suffolk again this year, as she was last year. And if they keep making progress with the slots and stuff up there, I keep reading good things about Boston. They've already approved the legislation for standalone casinos as well as casinos that can be involved with Suffolk Downs.
Yeah.
And
versus it, good grade.
Oh, they'll skyrocket.
Yeah.
They'll skyrocket.
Well, Dylan, will you talk Jackie into staying in New York and you go to Suffolk Downs?
Yeah.
That'll work.
Well, they've got it at Aqueduct now, too, so the purses this coming starting January are going to be huge.
Yeah.
We just need them here.
Well, with the new governor and... the things, it was not new.
But new old governor.
The new old governor.
Right.
Maybe things will work out a little bit. When did you start riding? Did you start riding real young or just...
I did. I took some lessons when I was around 8, but I didn't really ride too much. I started jogging last year, early winter, but that was it from there. I just rode in like a little paddock behind my house.
Mm-hmm. What were you on?
Just my dad's thoroughbreds. They weren't really trained too much, but that was it. So.
Okay. So you've ridden thoroughbreds before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people,
yes.
A lot of them say, well, I rode a pony. A lot of the young ladies that say, yeah, you know, I rode hunter jumpers or something like that. What do you weigh?
I only weigh 103 right now. So the weight's not a problem right now with me. So. Mm.
Show them your guns.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
Yeah, he's getting pretty fit. He's
getting
strong and fit, yeah. But we have two other students here, too, Ursula. Laura Carson.
Yeah,
is
where are you from, Laura? And just holler it real loud there.
Well, I'm originally from Vancouver, BC, up in Canada.
You're from Canada?
Originally, yeah.
Okay.
But she's got dual citizenship.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll let you in.
Yes,
you know, that's all right.
But I ended up moving over to Washington when I was about 8 so we could have horses.
Yeah.
Started out with a little Shetland pony. Everybody knows how those are.
Yeah, there you go. See now.
That was always fun.
With thoroughbreds, and you started out with a Shetland pony.
Yeah. I would have rather have had a thoroughbred, I think. Ponies are a lot harder to deal with.
At least you didn't need a leg up.
No, I pulled it off the fence onto him a lot.
Yeah.
Because my parents could never keep me off of him. Yeah. But we just kind of escalated, and I graduated high school, went to college for zoology for a bit, and decided I didn't want to live my life in a lab, and started working at the racetrack.
Emerald Downs. She started working at Emerald Downs, right?
Hastings.
Oh, Hastings Park.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Over in BC for a wonderful trainer named Cindy Krasner. And then got my first off-track thoroughbred from her. And that was an interesting learning experience.
Yeah, I bet it was. Who's the other young lady?
Well, one last thing about Laura. She had a big thrill a couple weeks ago.
Uh-oh.
She led Curmudgeon over to the paddock.
Oh, did you,
and,
now?
Yeah, she grooms him.
Now, wait a minute. Hold it right there. Did you bet on him?
No.
I don't want to hear anymore.
I did not bet on him.
Well, he only paid $99.20, so it really, you know, it really wasn't worth betting on.
I asked everybody around here, said, you know, the trainer, now the groom over here.
The groom is here, and she actually galloped him for about a month or so.
That was like 6 weeks, I think.
Maybe, yeah, a month and a half.
And
but
nobody,
he got,
nobody bet $2 for the clocker.
Well, you know, I'll stop a freight trainer, so I'm not going to forget about it. I'm not going to. And then we've got Jordan Irwin back here from Stratford, Missouri.
Stratford, Missouri?
Yes, sir.
What's that close to?
It's in the Springfield area, in the southwest Missouri.
Okay.
Area.
I'm trying to, there's no racetrack, so I think the closest.
No.
Closest racetrack around there would be Cahokia Downs in
Collinsville, Illinois, right?
Collinsville, yeah.
Yeah, there's Fairmount Park up there, too. And then Oaklawn is where I went a lot, but there's no racetracks in my area.
Oh, you're closer to Oaklawn.
It's about 7 hours away. Up. It's not too close.
Yeah.
I went there a few times.
How'd you get interested in horses?
I've always loved horses, so I don't really remember. And then I've loved racing for as long as I can remember, too, and I've always wanted to be a jockey. Ah. So.
I always wanted to be a jockey?
Yes.
Okay.
For as long as I can remember.
Okay. And these two young ladies are some kind of hard workers. They've
are
got
they?
Fantastic work ethic. Most of the time, Jordan beats me to the barn. I get there at 6 o'clock, and I walk in. She's already waiting to go in her stall. We don't let them go in the stalls until the supervisor's there, but she's already, you know, taking the feed tub down and, you know, getting everything ready.
Yeah.
And Laura usually walks in about 6:05. And Dylan gets here about 9 o'clock.
All right. Give that phone thing back to Dylan. I want to ask him, when did you, you can just hold it if it'd be easier for you.
Okay.
Yeah. When did you decide that you wanted to ride races since you never saw your dad ride?
I didn't have it on my mind till a couple of years ago because, I don't know, I just didn't, and I just watched my dad, and we talked about it, and I just wanted to give it a shot, and I like horses a lot, so, and I used to race dirt bikes a lot, so.
Dirt bikes?
Yes, dirt bikes. So,
I get thrown?
Yeah, plenty of times.
All right.
I've had quite a bit of falls, so.
Yeah.
The speed comes into this, so, yeah.
How do you like the school?
Oh, it's fantastic, I love it.
Your girls like the school?
Absolutely.
Good.
Yeah.
Even with Chris here, you know, I mean.
Yeah, he's a great teacher. So.
Oh, he is.
I'm learning a lot.
That was unsolicited.
So.
Well, consider the source where that comment came from.
Yeah.
He's green as grass. So.
Have you sold him a saddle stretcher yet?
No, but why don't you tell Ursel the story about when you gave Montana a bath?
Oh.
And he said, how should I dry him off? Go ahead, tell him.
Okay, I asked Chris if I should hot walk him around.
This is our pony.
Okay.
And I go to Chris and I said to him if I could dry him off by walking him, and he said we have a hair dryer in the back. And
a blow dryer.
And I said, where is it? And he told me to go to Mike, another trainer. And I asked him, and he just started laughing. So.
I should have gotten Jeff Mulcahy involved, too, so Mike could have sent Dylan to Jeff.
Then
Don Combs.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, I got to take a break, and I want you to tell that saddle stretcher story.
Sure will, yeah.
Got to take care of my friends out of Cleveland. Got a new stud horse out there, Trap Shot, who impressive winner of the Grade 2 True North at Belmont, and a son of Toppet. Has joined the ranks of stallions at Claiborne Farm. A Trap Shot won the True North by 8.5 lengths. Ears pricked. Posted a 111 buyer. Got the first 6 furlongs, 108-4. Went to the True North off a 109 score in the Walterboro Stakes, also at Belmont. Followed it up with a fast closing second. Just got beat a nose in the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga. Posted a 112 buyer. Trap Shot served notice earlier that he was special, breaking his maiden, the Gulfstream, by 10.25 lengths. Following in succession by allowance wins by 12.75 and 4 at Gulfstream in Belmont, a 2.75 length win in the Long Branch Stakes around 2 turns at Monmouth, and a game second to Looking at Lucky, if I can say it, in the Grade 1 Haskell for earnings of over $703,000. Trap Shots won a 13 2011 stakes winners by Pulpit's top son, Tappet, who ranks third on the general sire list. And he's one of four stakes winners, two greatest stakes winners out of a daughter private account from the family of Blue Hen producer Lady Be Good. Superb individual. He was a $850,000 sales graduate. Trap Shot, $10,000 doing a full stanza nurses. Your inspection is invited. Just call for an appointment. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at Claiborne.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, something special, that's the best way to describe Dunkirk. He won his debut by six lengths after going six wide, and he blew away his opposition as described in the Bloodhorse. Won his second start and first round two turns by 4 3/4 lengths under Garrett Gomez, who said after the race, "I got pushed wide on the first turn, but when I asked him, he was super." That's the way a special horse responds. Then in just his third start, Dunkirk took on Quality Road in the Grade 1 Florida Derby. Steve Haskin, who saw the race, wrote afterward, "Dunkirk's performance under the circumstances was sensational. Regardless of whether he won or not, the move he made on the far turn and his overall performance stamped him as something special." Something special. There's that description again. Dunkirk concluded his career with a dead game second in the Grade 1 Belmont. He's a Grade 1 performer by any measure. Dunkirk is by leading sire Unbridled Song out of the Grade 1 Stakes won a secret status by AP Indy, and he's a superb individual. First foals of weanlings stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud for 10,000 live foal. Ashford Stud, home of four of the top 20 sires on the general sire list, including number one, Giant's Causeway. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coolmore. I'm talking to Dylan Davis and to Chris McCarron here, and Chris, you told a little story. The one that we can repeat on the air is the one about the saddle stretcher.
Yeah, you know, there's a
little. Have you all heard this?
No.
Yeah, well, it's worth listening to.
First of all, there's no such thing as a saddle stretcher, at least not to my knowledge.
Not?
So, anyhow.
I thought it was down by the key of the quarter pole.
Yeah, right. Okay. And you need a bucket of steam to use with it.
Okay, all okay, right.
So, anyway, the paddock judge out at Hollywood Park is a good friend of mine, and he's one of these really good guys, but he's kind of one of those Mr. Know-it-alls, you know, so some of his associates in the racing office kind of get a little perturbed with him, you know, thinking that he knows everything. So one day the assistant clerk of scales said to me, "Chris, we're going to get Ken with the saddle stretcher today." So he says, when you get out there, just tell Ken that you need it and send him in to the jocks room. So I'm tying my knot and getting tight on this filly, and I say, "Hey, Ken, this saddle's just not right. I've adjusted it twice, but I just can't get it to fit properly. Go into the jocks room and ask Gene for my saddle stretcher." Okay. So he goes in there, and Gene hands him a blacksmith's rasp covered with a white towel, wrapped in a towel. And so Ken comes running out onto the track at Hollywood Park by the scale out there, and he's waving it like this, waving it up in the air. And he says, Chris, I got it." I said, "Okay, great. Send it over to the starting gate, please. We'll do it over there." So meanwhile, the stewards are up on the roof, and they're looking down. They call the phone right next to the scale, and they said, "Ken, what are you doing? What are you waving down there?" He goes, "Oh, McCarron needs a saddle stretcher. Send over to the starting gate." They almost fell off the roof. And this poor kid, he took grief over that for a year. And he didn't talk to me for quite a while. As a matter of fact, he ended up being Tyler Kaplan's agent in New York for about 2 months.
Is that right?
Yeah,
that
he left
him up there.
Yep, yeah. He left the paddock judge job at Santa Anita and went to Aqueduct for a little while. It didn't work out, unfortunately. But now he's back working out in the racing office at Santa Anita.
Oh, okay. Very good. Here comes another one.
That's Cali Francois.
Oh, I've seen Cali. Cali gets on, what's that, Spooky Spirit all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Hey, how'd that horse run last night? Callie and her dad bred a horse that was in at Turfway last night.
No, not last night. It was before.
Oh, he's not run yet?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, good. Good luck.
We won two last night, though. Jim Dodgen won a race, and Brian Kane.
Oh, cool.
Both
awesome.
At Turfway last night.
Callie's our one of our second-year students, and our semester concludes next Friday. And it's then they start in an internship. And Callie's going down to Palm Meadows to work for Todd Pletcher, starting in January.
Oh, very good, yeah.
And she paid us a pretty nice compliment yesterday when we were done with our... They took a quiz about 11 o'clock yesterday, and when she was finished, she said, I don't want to leave here. I'm going to miss it. I said, oh, that's awful nice.
That is nice, yeah. You like it, Callie?
Oh, I love it here. It's great.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, well, come over here a second. Where are you from now?
Sir, I'm from Marinette, Wisconsin.
About where?
Marinette, Wisconsin, about an hour north of Green Bay.
Oh, I can't understand that accent.
She's a cheesehead.
A cheesehead?
Yeah, Chris often calls me Miss Cheesehead.
Well, listen, Jackie and I have been following Green Bay ever since Cobb went up there to play.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's been doing well for them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
First game, very first game, he ran a kickoff back for a touchdown.
Yes, sir, he did.
And caught a pass for a touchdown. That's a kid, Chris. I don't know if you follow football.
Randall Cobb.
Randall Cobb. Yeah. Played for UK. Yeah.
Yep.
So you're going to go down and go with Fletcher, huh?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay. Now you're sending somebody, Chris, to somebody else, you have a big trainer you're sending somebody down to.
Mallory's going down to work with Billy Mott.
Oh, okay. Mallory.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so. And you're going to Gulfstream?
I will be at Palm Meadows.
Well, that's next door.
Yeah, right next door, yeah.
You're looking forward to the climate?
Very much. Very much so. I'm really excited. Just
she's not going to miss you near as much as you think.
No,
when she
I
gets
know. I know. That's what I thought. Wait till she gets down to Florida and sees those palm trees.
Yeah. Listen,
82 degrees.
Yeah, listen, Spooky gets a little tough to gallop every now and then, doesn't he?
He does. He does. You have to pick a certain time of the day to gallop him where there's no traffic. They named him rightly so because he likes to spook a lot. So today he went pretty well, but yeah.
He hadn't won yet. But he gets a piece of the purse every time.
Yep.
He's a game little horse.
He is. He is. He's fun.
They had to scratch him in the last race for some reason.
They did. I actually didn't keep up with it, and Matt didn't let me know how it went. But yeah,
I heard the tale. Matt Howard told me, but Matt Howard owns
him. Yeah, Matt Howard owns him, and Matt Frazier trains him.
Yeah, right, the two Matts. Yeah, okay, very good. Well, you guys.
I have one more thing to say. Our graduates are closing in on 1,100 winners.
1,100, yeah. Wow, that's real good. When are you guys going to start adding to it?
A couple years.
No.
Next year for Cali. And a couple years for
Dylan.
Yeah.
2-year course, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Did you come here out of college or school? You're too young.
Yeah. I did.
I look at Dylan. I know he didn't. He looks like he's 12 to me. You know me.
Yeah. I did a year of school in Wisconsin, and then I was a working student for somebody. But then I came here, so I did have a year of schooling.
How did you hear about school?
My dad owns a couple of mares, and just.
Thoroughbreds?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
A couple of mares through the grapevine. And, Ben Creed's riding a horse that we bred at Turfway tomorrow, I think. Tomorrow or today. Today, I think. But
I think I'd keep up a little closer than that, don't you?
Yeah.
Did you ride in Wisconsin?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. Inside in the winter, I take it?
Well, outside it can give you good conditioning in the snow.
Good
and stuff.
Lord, in the snow. Okay,
fine. Just trail rides. Just trail rides.
Why don't you tell Ursula some of the other courses that you take here besides riding?
Right now I'm currently taking a breeding operation class with Dixie Hayes. And in the beginning, with the freshmen, we start, you know, basic equine management, equine business management,
physiology
and anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
All that kind of stuff.
Wow, that's
pretty
good. Real hard stuff.
Yeah. All right, listen, I got to let you all go because okay. I've got stuff to move on with. And I want to wish you all luck, and I'm going to be watching you out here. I see you out here all the time. But when are you guys coming out on the big track?
Next semester. We'll be in the inner track out here.
When's your next semester start?
January.
January 10th.
January 10th. You all looking forward to that?
Yes.
They're all looking forward to get run off with for a couple weeks.
Yeah. Did you know Adam?
Yeah.
Okay. He put Adam on a big bay horse out here. And when he first started galloping that horse, I don't know how many times I put a watch on him. I thought, who in the hell is that working? It was Adam, you know, right?
That was Ease.
Huh?
The horse's name was Ease.
It was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he was a handful for Adam.
He's
because,
a different horse out here.
You know, Adam is so little, you know, he's waiting. I asked Adam, what do you weigh, Adam? He says, 92 pounds stripped. I said, what do you weigh with your tack, Adam? You can't ride one stripped. But he's a good kid. I try to keep up with all you guys up there, you know, when you get to riding races. I wish you all well.
All you got to do is put their names in your virtual stable on Equibase.
And
you'll have an email sent to you at 3:34 every morning with all the results and entries.
Is it going to wake me up? I get up at 4:30 now.
Hey, thanks very much for having us on. We appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate it. It's fun watching you guys. It really is. So.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. All right, Jackie. Well, let me see. I better catch up on I'm getting a little behind in my work here. Last Sunday's Grade 1 $250,000 Hollywood Derby was won by Ultimate Eagle, a three-year-old colt by Mizzen Mass, bred by Ben Walden and David Hanley. Ultimate Eagle went into the Hollywood Derby off a score in the Grade 2 Oak Tree Derby, and the Hollywood Derby was his fourth consecutive win. He used the same tactics to win both derbies, leading at every call, and he covered the mile and a quarter of the Hollywood Derby in 2:01.2 after breaking from the number 11 post position. Ultimate Eagle has earned over $329,000. He's the third Grade 1 stakes winner by Mizzen Mass, following Mass Track, who's won over $928,000, and Midships earned more than $528,900. Those are the kind of performances horsemen have come to expect from the progeny of Mizzen Mass. There's always another Mizzen Mass. Stands for $12,500 at Jedmont Farm, home also of the beautifully bred Grade 1 stakes winner First Defense, A Son of Unbridled Song, and Grade 1 Stakes Winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slough. First Defense stands for $7,500 live foal. Inquiries of Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fryan. See the website at judmont.com. Well, associates, this is going to be a long one. I tell you what. Macaulay's had a hell of a weekend.
It took me 2 hours.
All right. Well, associates of Macaulay Brothers bred or raised the winners of 8 stakes last weekend. 4 of them Grade 1 stakes. Wise Dan, winner of the Grade 1 Clark, was raised at Patch and Wilkes Farm for Mort Fink. The winner of the Grade 1 Cigar Mile, To Honor and Serve, was bred by Twin Creeks Farm, Larry Byer, in Rancho San Miguel. Ultimate Eagle, winner of the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby, was bred by Ben Walden and David Hanley. And Macaulay Clients bred the 1-2-3 finishers of the Grade 1 Matriarch Stakes. The winner, Star Billing, was raised by Jerry O'Meara for breeder George Krikorian. Second place, Summer Soiree, was bred by Burton C. Jones. Third went to Never Retreat, bred by Gary O'Meara and Stanley Inman. In addition, the Grade 2, Remsen, went to O Prado again, bred by Higher Clare Farm. The Grade 2 Go for One was won by Lively Lil, bred by Stonewall Farm, and as was So Brilliant, winner of the Grade 3 Hollywood Preview Stakes. And Daisy Devine, winner of the Pago Hop Stakes, was bred by Riley McDonald. Macaulay's clients have sent 24 individual Grade 1 stakes winners and the winners of over 110 graded stakes to the races this year. Macaulay Brothers is having an open house on Tuesday, December the 13th, from 10 until 3. So stop by and visit the folks providing the feeds and the supplements that are sending the winners of many of the nation's greatest stakes races to the races. The office is 111 Broadway in Versailles. To learn more about the Macaulay products, call Dale Ward or Mike Warren at 873-3333. Macaulay Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Jim Fitzgerald, not Griffin Farm. We were talking about Jim a little bit earlier.
You were?
Yeah, I forget what he did now.
Oh, I'll tell you what he did. He went and got himself engaged.
Oh.
Yeah. She's real cute.
they say. I've not met her. She's a veterinarian.
Well, now that he's going to cut down in expenses. That's what Garrett O'Rourke did. Following in the footsteps of Garrett O'Rourke.
Nothing dumb about these boys. There's nothing dumb about them at all.
These Irishmen know what the heck they're doing, don't they?
Don't they, though?
How come you went to law school instead of vet school?
Too stupid to go to vet school.
Well, anyway, Jim owns Not Griffin Farm. He also... the other farm over there, what the heck's the name of Harper's Island? He owns that one, which is close by. And, of course, Jim came up through the Irish National Stud and Michael Osmond and John Williams and Spendthrift and Leet. And he's owned Not Griffin for some 17 years now. Harper's Island, I guess, about 3 years old that he's owned that. The farms are just 10 minutes apart, if that.
Longer ago than that.
Well, could be. Anyway, he does it all on his farms. Boring, sales prep, public and private sales, rehab. You know, he just had a great September sales. Got quality farm help and just give you some good, sound, common sense advice. And he's a great guy to do business with. He's one of the first sponsors of this show. 987-8032 is Jim Fitzgerald's number, and his website is Not Griffin Farm. That's KNOCKGRIFFINFarm.com.
What?
You want to do your announcements?
Sure.
I get the rest. How many of them will end up with clocking?
76.
76.
Trombones.
Yeah. Well, that's not as well. I had 42 before, 41 before the break.
Yeah. It went smoothly. I'll tell you what's funny, though. Those guys cracked me up. Normally, they'd all just sit out there and they'd click at anything they see. And I said, since I was out there and I couldn't keep up with that kind of madness, we were going to divide it up. I said, the smartest one of you take the 5A's pulling the gate, and that was Harold. So, David going down the IQ scale, I guess. David took the half, and Matt took the 3/8.
Okay.
And I'm saying this to get back at him, because Matt made so much fun of me out there. Just, you know, I got one that won the 3/8. Am I in trouble? You know, like the teacher routine. I mean, it went on forever, but it was fun. It was funny. But we didn't miss any.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Well, we had 100 last week.
Yeah.
So we were, you know, you all were 22. Let's. I made the remark to Ron Pellegrini was up here that while I was clocking this morning, it was 8 o'clock, and I just had about 22, 23 at that time. I said, hey, it's going to be a little bit easier for Saturday.
Yeah.
At that time, the phone rang. Three people came up, and they were calling me from the starting gate. Joe, and if you don't answer Joe Heat over at the starting gate,
he'll yell at you.
Herzog! Clockers, wake up!
I know. It was funny. We had a good time.
Yeah, well, good.
Somebody came out and said, Ursel's hollering for you. I said, well.
Tough, huh?
Not much I could do about it.
Well, I wasn't hollering for you. Well,
really?
No, I don't know. Somebody lied to you, just trying to upset
probably,
you.
Probably. Yeah. We did have fun. It's kind of crazy, but we had fun.
We forgot to bring in an extra table.
It worked fine. Yeah. The saving thing was there's no breeze. A tiny one. But it's,
didn't get cold today?
No.
Got cold last week.
Yeah, it was fine.
Okay.
So, announcing, ta-da-ta-da, Kentucky Horse Park. Today is Snowbird Dressage. Today is also the second day of the Briar Weekend at Southern Lights and a gift shop open house with store-wide discounts and refreshments. Of course, Southern Lights are going on. They will go until December 31st. It's $15 for a carload. It's absolutely beautiful. You have to get somebody. If you've never seen it, you got to go do it. It's just really super. December 7th is Military Night at Southern Lights, so all active and retired military members and their families get in free. December 8th is the New Year's Cup Indoor Polo Tournament, and December 10th and 11th, Snowball Series Mounted Games. December 16th through 17th, Kentucky Proud Weekend at Southern Lights.
Take them on.
Now, let's see. I want to make sure there's taking bids on a halter worn by Cigar. So go to the website and check that out. That's kind of a nice way to raise money. Oh, Kentucky, Central Kentucky Riding for Hope, one of my favorites. They need a good used driving cart. I don't have one, but I'm sure somebody out there has one. And Kentucky Equine Humane Center needs hay.
So does Michael Blowen.
Michael Blowen.
Oh, we're old friends, okay. Oh, a champion Invisor was Horse of the Year on two continents, earned over $7,804,000. He won two of the world's most coveted stakes, the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic over Bernardini and the Grade 1 Dubai World Cup. Won an unprecedented six Grade 1 stakes in a row, was ranked number one in the world as a four-year-old, number one in the world when he was retired at five. He is one of 11 champions, sired by Blushing Groom's top son, Candy Stripes, a list that includes Eclipse Award winner and Kentucky Derby sire, Leroy de Sanamo. Candy Stripes is also the broodmare sire of the successful young sire, Candy Ride, who, like Invisor, was foaled in South America. First foals by Invisor showing run, 11 have won a place already as two-year-olds this year, including the good stakes placed winner, Midnight Valor. Invisor is at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes. See the website, shadwellfarm.com.
The American Produce.
Well, Tisnow was represented by two graded stakes winners last Saturday. At Churchill Downs, the grade $250,000 Kentucky Jockey Club stakes was won by a gemologist, a two-year-old colt by Tisnow. And at Aqueduct, the grade two gold for one went to Lively Lil, a four-year-old filly by Tisnow. Gemologist, bred by G. Watts Humphrey and Louise I. Humphrey, sold as a yearling for $310,000. He's owned by Windstar Farms, trained by Todd Pletcher, and he's undefeated in three starts. Lovely Lil won the Union Avenue Stakes at Saratoga in August and is placed in two other stakes this year, including the Grade 2 Gallant Bloom at Belmont. Hall of Famer Tisnow has sired seven Grade 1 Stakes winners, two this year, and he stands at Windstar Farm for $75,000 live foal. One of the seven Grade 1 Stakes winners is the brilliant Colonel John. Fee, $15,000 live foal. Now, winner of two of the nation's most coveted stakes, the Grade 1 Travers and the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, Colonel John earned over $1,779,000. His first foals arrived this year. They look and act like runners. For more information about the Windstar Stallions, contact Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All right, I've got Steve Moody with us, and Steve has moved from Lexington to New Orleans, I understand. Is that right, Steve?
Well, sort of.
Sort of. So you're doing the fairgrounds,
right?
Racing now, instead of Kentucky.
That would be correct.
Okay. All righty. Well, I'll take a winner at the fairgrounds just as well as I will take a winner in Kentucky. What's the feature down there? I haven't even looked.
Well, they've got the. They've got the claiming crown down here today.
Right. Yeah.
They've got several. Stakes races. I'll tell you what, we can do the Emerald Stakes if you want to. That's the eighth race down there, a mile and 16th on the turf.
Uh-huh.
3-year-olds and up, and pretty good race. Got eight of them entered. In the Emerald Stakes, $100,000 is the purse. You got a horse coming off the Breeders' Cup race. Compliance Officer, I think, is the one to beat. He had won five in a row prior to the Breeders' Cup, and he jumped in there in the Breeders' Cup Mile, and obviously a very very tough race with the likes of Goldakova and all the Gio Ponti and all the horses that were in that particular race. Was probably in over his head to begin with, but then didn't have a very good trip either, and finished well back, although he wasn't that far back in terms of links beaten. Finished 11th, but I think he was only beaten about seven lengths or maybe a little less. And you know, back in here in a much more manageable spot today, he's got tactical speed. I think he'll be running from off the pace under Alex Solis, who comes in to ride for Bruce Brown, and I think he's definitely the horse to beat. So I'm going to take him on top. Quick Delivery is another one that goes for Tom Amos, who's always perennially very tough at the fairgrounds. That's his sort of home. You know, he for wintertime home is New Orleans, and he, of course, is based in Kentucky the rest of the year. He's got Quick Delivery in here, and I think he's going to be right there. Looks like those two probably to make up the exacta. And the three horse, Thad Bazimbi, is one that been running on really the surface he didn't like. He's back on the turf today. That's where he's been most effective, and I think he'll give a better effort. Robbie Alvarado has the mount for Joe Woodard. And so I'm going to go 2-5-3 in the Claiming Crown Emerald Stakes.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Steve. I know you're sitting close to your TV getting ready for UK and North Carolina. And I haven't talked to you since the Tennessee game, have I?
No, not. Yeah, that was quite a shocker last week, Ursula. I'm trying to think back in UK history when a performance like that, an individual performance like we got from Matt Rourke. I don't know one in UK history to match it. I mean, you go be a wide receiver your whole career, and you know, on senior day, your last game, and you find out 3-4 days ahead of time that you're going to be the quarterback, and you're given just a very, very limited number of plays to run, and you do it, and you don't make they don't make any turnovers, and you know, beat the 26-year losing streak. I mean, that's, you know, Hollywood writer would say, well, that's ridiculous. That can't possibly happen. So,
yeah, something else that pleased me is that kid that intercepted the pass right at the end to end the game. That was he's a senior, and that's the first pass he'd intercepted all year, isn't it?
Yeah, it might be.
I think that's what they said. I think Tom said that when I was listening.
Yeah. I mean, pretty dramatic stuff. So hopefully, basketball team will keep right on rolling. They haven't been beaten since at home since Calipari's been here. So
no.
Like to keep that streak going.
You know, I saw, I think it was 131 straight home games that Kentucky had won, and when Whack Hyder brought Georgia Tech in here and upset them, and I was there that day, and you could hear a pin drop in Memorial Coliseum. I tell you, everybody was in shock.
My dad was there, and he said basically the same thing. He said people, they almost refused to leave. Like, well, this can't be over.
Yeah.
Something must have been, you know, there's got to be more time left.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But and then we went down there and they beat us on the road.
Yeah, beat us twice that year.
Yeah. I wonder whatever happened to Whack Hyder. You know, he was obviously a good coach. But I've never heard much about it. Well, anyway, we're going to let you go, and thanks very much. This has been Steve Moody, and he's the author of the Fairgrounds Handicapper Sheet now. Where can we find that, Steve?
It's right now I think just at the tracks, and it's online at brisnet.com.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, well, thank you so much.
All right, Ursula.
Talk to you next week. All righty, Jackie, we can... Well, let me do this, and we'll get back to you, okay? And then you can finish up. A Patio Prater is a grade one stakes winner of over $1,721,000. He's by champion El Prado, the sire of sires. El Prado's most recent stakes winner came just last Saturday in New York when the two-year-old El Prado again won the grade two Remsen Stakes. Earlier stakes winners include two of the hottest sires in North America, Kitten's Joy, whose stud fees climbed to $50,000, and Medaglia d'Oro, who stands for $100,000. Ranked with the best of his generation at 2, 3, and 4, Patio Prado won five graded stakes, including the Grade 1 Secretariat, placed in four more, among them the Grade 1 Kentucky Derby, the Grade 1 Bluegrass, and the Grade 1 Joe Hirsch Turf Classic Invitational. You don't have to pick his tracks. He was equally adept on dirt, grass, and artificial. His trainer, Dale Romans, paid him the ultimate compliment. When Kitten's Joy retired, I never thought I would have another horse as good as him. But I'm glad that Patty proved me wrong. Patty Oprado's out of a grade two stakes winner from a family loaded with black type. He's to stand his first season at stud for $15,000, doing a full stands and nurses. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey, Sean Fell, and Ed Toppy, and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com. All right, Jackie, you may proceed.
Okay, I'm assuming you mentioned, there it comes. And it faded.
Yeah.
Arnold Kirkpatrick's
yes,
Untimely.
I did. Well, you might want to repeat it, Jackie.
Yeah, there will be a celebration. This sounds just like him. A celebration in honor of his life is going to be Keeneland Clubhouse from 3:30 to 5:30 this afternoon. Donations to the Hope Center, Equine Humane Center, and Haven for Dogs. I mean, that sounds like him. I have a party when I check out. That's just...
Yeah, but I hate to see him check
out. Oh, gosh.
Last time we saw him, we were out to dinner, and walked in, and he got up and gave us both a big hug, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, geez.
My favorite... excuse me. My favorite memory is years ago, we were downtown...
Yeah.
And he went by in the big, those big old convertibles, and he had a minimum of five blondes in there, maybe seven or eight or ten, I don't know. But he went by with all those blondes, the convertible top down, he put his arm up and went, "Hey, Ursel!" So that's the way I want to remember him.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Yeah, you remember him with nice thoughts.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, Mid-South Dressage, Eventing and Dressage Association is having a gala celebration, their annual meeting and awards luncheon, January 14th and 15th. So you need to make a note. They're going to have speakers and lunch and dinner and all that good stuff. MSEDA.com is the place to go. MSEDA.org. It's a great organization, and they put on a lot of shows and do a lot of stuff. Thoroughbred Farm Manager's next membership meeting is next Wednesday, December 7th, at the Red Mile. Guest speaker, Gary Falter. Topic is McKinsey Report and presentation on the owner initiative from the McKinsey support. He works with systems. You know, he must be real smart. Oh, I don't know if I'd understand what he's talking about, but... Registration 6:15 at the Red Mile. You have to have made your reservations yesterday, but usually if you call them the next day and leave a message, they'll take your reservation. The Masterson Indoor Arena is open. They'll 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Tuesdays, Thursdays. No, that's for people that give lessons. Saturdays and Sundays from 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. Now, you have to have reservations 24 hours in advance to make sure somebody's there, I guess for insurance. Costs you $15 an hour, $25 for if you're more two or more. Of course, you have to take care of it and pick up stuff and all that good stuff. But you need reservations, you need to call Georgia, 253-0328. 253-0328. That's nice because it's getting cold. Southern Lights, I said that. Okay, Sally Vans does work on trailers out at their trailer place. I've heard from several people that have had things done, rubber mats repaired, fenders repaired, brakes checked, bearings packed. And they say, now this is word of mouth, they say they do a wonderful job.
Everything else they do is great. Why yeah. wouldn't that be?
Yeah. So you need to call Ben Eversole at Sally, although you can just call Sally's regular number. But Ben Eversole's number is 513-675-8874. Macaulay's is having an open house Tuesday, December 13th, from 10 till 3. Meet the new general manager, Daryl Ward. I yeah. shall be there. I hope they have something to eat. That's whether I have
Lures
a time.
Down.
Yeah.
Let's see, we're going to meet and go down. You take Betsy into the Cardinal Hill. Dump. She goes in at 10.
9. From 9 till noon, yeah.
Okay, from 9 until
so
noon.
So we can run down and see how much I can spark.
We'll get down
up.
There. We'll get down there maybe 10 or a little after.
Plenty of time to eat.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm going to draw myself.
Okay. Now, Shaker Village of Pleasant Hill. You know, you have to pay to ride. And if you buy them for a year, it's $10 a month, $120. You buy them February, it's $110, and so on. But, and you sign a waiver of liability. It's a wonderful place to ride. And now, you know, they make really nice Christmas presents. Mm-hmm. Shaker Village Pass. Okay, let me see what else. Oh, our favorite buddy, Dr. Murray West of Paris, Kentucky, has a blog now. It's called 2 Minute Lick, and he keeps apologizing because he's not good at computers. He's fine with computers. That's baloney. What you need to do is go to www.2minutelick.blogspot.com. Check it out. His pictures are worth going there just by themselves.
No, has he put some of the pictures that he's done?
Yes, there's pictures up there. It's beautiful.
He's a great photographer. I hope he's a good doctor. He takes care of us.
Well, we're still here.
Yeah, we're still here.
So far.
Yeah, right.
Okay, Shaker Village updates. December 5th and 6th, Monday and Tuesday. December 21 and 22, Wednesday and Thursday. It's closed. There are scheduled quail hunts. So if you want to go down there and you don't want to ride, you might want to go right and shoot some dove. There you go.
I thought you said quail.
What did I say?
You said quail. You
meant
dove.
Oh, it is quail. It's quail.
Oh, it's quail? Okay, yeah. Then you went to doves.
I'm sorry. Oh, well.
Shoot something, for God's sake.
Birds. You know, they have discovered that dinosaurs had feathers. Those things were a bunch of big chickens running around. That puts a different perspective on it, doesn't it?
Chickens eat everything.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Okay, don't forget, old friend's calendar for 2012 is ready. Go to Sylvia at oldfriendsequine.org or give them a call, 502-863-1775.
All right, and let's see. Winners this month now. We've had 4 winners in the first 2 days of this. Today is the third, but, of course, they haven't run today yet. So first 2 days we've had 4 winners. That's 2 a day.
2 a day.
Hot dog.
Oh, boy.
Keep that up.
That higher math. That's as far as I can go.
Yeah, that's what got me through the 6th grade at Russell Cave. Tommy Short, Paul Garcia, Jim Dodgen, and Brian Kane.
How about that?
I happened to see Jim's horse when I just flipped over to TVG, and they were just loading in the gate, and they threw the latch, and they said my zipper was laying third. And I said, oh, I know my zipper. And my zipper won.
If you want to see Ursel stop in his tracks, just have that TV pop up there in some race, and it's he'll talk to you later. We're on regular time next week.
Regular time.
And we
10
are.
10 to 12.
We are live streamed from WLXG.com in Lexington, and this show will be put up with all the others, UrselEllis.com.
All righty. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Happy trail to you. Keep smiling.